Welcome to the Love Sport Podcast Sunday morning edition as we look over Saturday in sport, look forward to Sunday in sport, look at the AFL, NRL, we'll have a look at the Ashes as well. Come on Aussies, 2-0 up, let's do it. Can we get the 2-0 up? One day to go, a few wickets to take, let's do it. You can get me at Paul_football on Twitter. Get the Love Sport Podcast on Facebook. You can also get it as a Facebook group member. This is the Love Sport Podcast, Sunday morning edition. Get your coffees, get whatever you're into. What an interesting round of AFL so far. It's just started out Thursday night. Honestly, I was there. I'm a Tiger. There was no interest in that game whatsoever, unless you're a Lions fan, just watching your team continue the amazing streak. I believe they've won the last 32 of 35 at the Gabba. It is a fortress. They absolutely humiliated Richmond. The Richmond rebuild needs to completely take place now. Danaher with 5 almost took a few screamers as well. And I think the most interesting thing out of that game is just how much the Lions toyed with Richmond, who were previously a bit of a nemesis for them. That's well and truly over. Nice, easy win there. On the Friday night, Geelong and Sydney. Geelong got into the lead in the last quarter and might have looked like they were home. Sydney just blew chance after chance. Now, sometimes you look at scores, Sydney 6-18, Geelong 7-12, and there could be, you know, rushed behinds, it could be touched on the line, all those different things. Sydney literally tried to blow that game and really did. A draw, you know, it was exciting if you were a neutral, but seriously, Sydney should have easily won that game. Does it do a lot for either of them? Well, Sydney 6 points out of the 8th spot, and Geelong just only 2 points out. But there's also, just the fact that 2 points now percentage is out of the game for them in that regard for Sydney and Geelong because of that 2 points. But what a blown opportunity, because certainly Geelong would have been in the 8. Based on that result, Sydney would have been right in the hunt as well. They would have been up to 28 points. We're getting towards, you know, that last third of the season. It was a great game in terms of the watching that last quarter and how close it was, but, you know, Sydney's kicking completely took them out of that one for sure. The games after that We had Adelaide on Saturday, started off early, 66 points, almost a standard win against North, but they really got that firepower happening again, 21-12 to 11-6. The Adelaide rebuild, it has to be said, is definitely happening. Dawson's fantastic. Keys is very hard at the ball. Rory Sloan, now he is really having a bit of very late career renaissance, which quite often happens with players, in that last year or two. Rankin had probably his best game for Adelaide with 5 goals. Fogarty with 4. Tex continues his amazing, end of career as well with another 3 goals. Probably could have kicked 4 or 5. And for North, look, Larky kicking 3, trying his best. Just not enough players. They've got certainly enough experience there. Can the young guys come through? Who knows? But, they're not as in big trouble as West Coast. Western Bulldogs, an amazing last quarter because Frio actually hit the front and it looked like the Dogs had stopped. They ended up going on and kicking the next 6 or 7 goals and winning 102-73. Gold Coast Suns, massive test for them against Collingwood. And this game was over really, really early at home. Really big crowd. Used to be Metricon. And it's now Heritage Bank. It just keeps changing names no matter what they decide to do. But 5-12 to 18-12 really sums it up. And this game, as I said, it was pretty close to over at quarter time. Even though it was only 20-odd points, it was the style of play. And 10 goals up at half time. And I know that they kicked 4 goals in the third quarter. But seriously, Collingwood just cruised through the second half of this match. And they are definitely absolutely the favourites. Gold Coast, another chance to stand up. They got thumped a few weeks ago by Carlton. They got thumped again by Collingwood. They need to stand up. When the goals are starting to go against them, they don't have that player who can just lead the pack. Nick Dacos, 36 touches and a goal, was absolutely out of this world. Anderson for Gold Coast has had a fantastic season. He had 35 disposals. He really is standing up. There wasn't a lot else out there for the Gold Coast. Very, very even performance by Collingwood. Jamie Elliott with 5 goals, but one of the goals, it looks like it's going through for a point. He taps it back in, runs around from outside of the point post and kicks a goal. And it was just one of the most clever goals you could see there. So a really even performance by Collingwood and a really disappointing performance by the Gold Coast. Then Essendon Port Adelaide at the G. It was a rainy second half of this game. Port started off on fire and really should have been 4 or 5 goals up against Essendon. Then in the last quarter, Port blew it out to 17 points and it looked like no chance. Essendon got back to the lead and then that remarkable, we just played the highlights, 50-odd metres on the siren on an angle. Wow. But I tell you what stood out for this game is, and people have been saying it for a long time, but Connor Rosie and Zach Butters, they are just absolute class. Rosie in those conditions was just fantastic. Look, Parrish had a really good game for Essendon. He'll be ruining some misses there. Zach Merritt leading the front line as well. But just a really great performance by Port away. They look the real deal. I have been trying for so long to write them off, but unfortunately they are so good. And Pau Pepper, one of the most influential 12-possession games you could ever imagine. It was brilliant tactics. Brilliant tactics. What they had at every contest, Pau Pepper would start about 5-6 metres away from the contest and just charge in. It was such a deliberate tactic. Really well done. Because what he would do is impact every single competition. Allaire, really strong down back. Horn Francis had probably his worst game in a Port or North jumper, just could not get near the ball. But great performance by Port. They maintain their stranglehold on second. They're 2 games clear of the Lions. and even with Collingwood just behind on percentage. So they, you know, 12 wins in a row. They started off, you know, Ken Hinckley under fire, but some of the tactics he's used this year and the way he's moved players around, and that Powell Pepper tactic was definitely, from a coaching perspective, you could see it at every contest. So well done there for sure and certain. Today we have Hawthorn taking on Carlton. It's 16th versus 15th. But Carlton would be pretty happy with some of the results because they can get to a game and a half outside the finals if they win today. And they should beat Hawthorn, but it's just one of those games you just never know. Carlton by 32. Melbourne taking on the Giants in the afternoon. And look, I think it'll be a harder game than people think. It's fourth. If Melbourne lose this, any chance of a grand final this year is looking pretty ordinary. Giants do definitely need the win. And once again, because it's such a convoluted, they can be a game outside the eight if they win this. So don't underestimate what will happen there. And who knows, Toby Green could get them over the line. And then, which has become just the inevitably crap last game of the round. Eagles seem to play a lot of the late games, obviously, with the time difference in WA. They take on the Saints. Saints should win this by a minimum of 8 goals, to be honest. Eagles, absolute rabble. Saints, unbackable. Should win it. And there's no way they'll lose it, but you just, you know, it's one of those games that, as a Saints, at the moment, you'd almost go, oh, geez, I hope we don't lose this, but they should easily win that. So that was certainly a little bit of a wrap there of the AFL. And my Tigers, rebuild happening. Enjoy your footy this afternoon.
Comes across now. There's Drinkwater laid away out of that Drinkwater. They're clear numbers. This is beautiful. This is glorious. Double Ola, straight. Now comes away. Mane slips the pass. Drinkwater's got two. Gets it on to Valame. Gets over. Semi Valame worms his way to the line.
Well handled until he gets the offload.
Oh, Drinkwater, his eyes lit up. He saw a little gap. Links up with Dearden. Gets it on to Bradwell. He's home. He's 50.
Bounce.
Dearden. Drinkwater. Talangi. Oh, my goodness. Is called by the ref to play it. Here comes now with Dearden targeted pass. Comes to Talangi, and he is going to stroll over for number three. Hurry, Talangi! They've hit 60.
They can play for 80 minutes.
Yes. Comes out to the right side. Drinkwater, Valame's on his own. Now finally gets it. Gets inside Naden, Laurie chasing. Oh, beautiful hands. Comes out to Mane. Mane gets past the leg of Seyfarth, and he had to score, Jeremiah Mane. Reece Robson. Rolls it in. Oh, McLean. The final indignity. Jordan McLean gets a try, and the Cowboys have 70.
Gee, the break, the buys, the state of origin, everything in between has really thrown the cat among the pigeons in the NRL because it's been around, besides, you know, one or two kind of close games, it's been a round of absolute thrashings. Started on Thursday night, the Sharks absolutely dismantled the Dragons, 52-16. To put it in perspective, they started pretty well, the Dragons. Because after the first 20-odd minutes, they were right in the game. And it looked like it could potentially be a close game. But that second half, it was 5-1 and 52-16. Sharks really did need to get back on track. And that was a absolutely massive win there. And Nicho Hynes, you know, he's been slated for his performance in State of Origin, but he's a very, very good club player, and I know that from my time of following the Melbourne Storm. I was very sad to lose him. Rabbitohs took on a really good Warriors team and putting together a great season. The Rabbitohs, a lot of people thinking they were starting to falter, but they put on a fantastic performance, 28-6 on Friday. and just a really good all-round performance. Taiafi, three conversions, a penalty, gets a try near the end of the game as well. But they needed that one. And the Warriors, look, they were disappointing. They scored first. I really thought that they would be... I thought they might win this game, but it's going to be a close one at home at Go Media Stadium in Auckland. But the Rabbitohs, well done, and their premiership tilt is on track. Storm taking on Panthers, Storm, my team, and I was pretty excited early on. Got out to a 14-point lead, and the Panthers, if they're not the outright favourites, you are kidding me, because they put on a clinic, and I think 34 points to 2 after that period of time, away from home at Marvel as well, which is a weird experience for Storm fans, as they will tell you, playing there. But the Panthers absolutely thrashing the Storm. Crichton was very good. You know, he converted 5, scored a try himself in the first half. And, you know, Nick Meaney, it was good with Harry Grant for the Storm, but there wasn't really much to talk about for them. And Panthers back on track there. Titans fought hard against a really good Raiders team, who were having a bit of a renaissance year and a pushing for a top 4 spot, which a lot of people didn't think they would be able to get to. So they held on. The Titans just can't win these games. It was in Canberra and it was tough, but the Titans had their chances as well. But, you know, exactly what Campbell would have needed for that top 4 spot. I'll come back to another game in a moment, but the Broncos and the Dolphins played at a very weird venue for them, because they had to play at the Gabba because the Suncorp Stadium is being prepared for the Women's World Cup, and quite rightly as well, where the Matildas will be playing a couple of their games. And the Broncos held off a really, really good Dolphins team who, you know, we know that first season blues as the season goes on can occur, and injuries and a whole heap of other things. Thought the refereeing was pretty ordinary in this game, but the Broncos with Cobbo. And look, Cobbo, he started it off for the Broncos, and in his last try was absolutely outstanding. I thought Reynolds was slightly off in some of his decision-making and also his conversions as well. So you pull out a win and you haven't played fantastic, but Cobbo, he could be anything, and he's just starting to show that. Good win for the Broncos, very much needed, and the Dolphins starting to slide out of that contention that they looked to be early on, at least in a finals place. Sunday early game with the Bulldogs and Knights. Look really close in terms of who you would think would win this. Bulldogs have to do something. Think the Knights might just get over it. The Sea Eagles taking the Roosters, taking on the Roosters. Roosters not having their greatest season. They caught 4 pines. I'll always call it Brookie. I think the Eagles will get up in a close one there to do off the round and para with the bye as well. So the Panthers and the Broncos at this point in time, top 2 with the Sharks and Storm. Raiders and Rabbitohs really pushing for a top 4 spot there. Warriors and Eels. Cowboys now pushing up for a spot. They're just outside on points differential, quite a bit of points differential. They're plus 38. Now, put that in consideration. We'll come back to the game last night. And the Cowboys were unbelievable at home, beating the West Tigers 74-0. 74-0. I'm not sure what we can actually say too much about that, to be honest. Dearden scoring, then Vellamy. Drinkwater getting a couple there. Valentine Holmes with a couple. Talagai, he got a couple as well. Nanai McLean. It was just such an unbelievable performance. I think, I'm just going to check here. Yeah, Valentine Holmes with 11 conversions. 11. And a double. Just at one point in time, I mean, they were up 42-0, and you can easily, you know, take your foot off. But they then went and scored another 32-0 in the second half. And you can give all the plaudits and everything to the Cowboys, as you should. But where the hell do the West Tigers go? I mean, do you even rock up to the next home game? And, I mean, you probably shouldn't really support your team. But this is, in modern age, 74-0. I mean, I'm lost for words on anything a coach can say to his team. 42-0 down. Let's win the second half. Well, you got beaten again 32-0 in the second half. It is one of the most unbelievable results. I still can't stop looking at that score. And if you're a Cowboys fan, and I live in Queensland, and there's plenty all over the state, they will just watch that forever because the highlights are absolutely outstanding. And they're also absolutely disgusting highlights or lowlights for the West Tigers. But you should watch some of the tackles in the second half. They're not even tackles. It's like they're playing touch football. You can forgive bad performances, and you can forgive if your team is not potentially up for it. But 74-0, and their coaching plan, and then to bring in Benji Marshall following, it looks a rabble. This is as bad as any team we've ever seen in the NRL. To put in that performance, mate, you might as well just put the reserves in next week. Honestly, put them in. No player who played in that game for the West Tigers should even be playing again this year. That was frigging disgusting. Cowboys, yes, they were great, but you always have to look at the other side. And it was the lack of effort in tackles, the lack of talk, the lack of supporting each other. Absolutely disgusting. And the supporters of the West Tigers deserve so much more than this absolute shit they're getting at the moment. So you have to always look both ways there as well. So that's a bit of an NRL wrap for you.
Couldn't do much about it. He got in the line of the ball, tried to ride it. He struggled to duck the short ball and just haven't been able to get a game plan against this type of bowling. It's the simplest of dismissals, an easy catch to Ben Duckett. And body line 23 has another victim. England captain delighted. Oh, good catch. Joe Root it is. Going to find himself in there for the rest of his days. He's been so good. Calf or hamstring. Oh! That is fantastic bowling. That is good as it gets from Mitchell Starc.
Doing that with the ball coming back in at 90 miles an hour, you're in trouble. That's a beauty. That is light movement. Not many will keep that out. High class from Mitchell Starc. Chop. It's punched down the ground. Quite middled. Just keeping an eye on Ben Duckett who's running between the wickets. He got through okay there. Gets that fine. That'll be four. Bit too straight there from Hazelwood. Root doesn't miss out. Just like that. Finds the edge, but Joe Root plays so late. And with soft hands, he keeps it down. It wouldn't have carried to slip. Oh, he flicks that off the pads. Hazelwood, just for a moment, thought he was right in the game then. Get two down to fine leg. Hazelwood with his hands on his head.
45 minutes ago.
Oh, it's a gun. That's a snorter from the Australian captain to get rid of England's former captain. Three down.
Much today. Sort of luck from the English bowlers today, the Australians yesterday, and now the Australians again this afternoon. David Warner, safe pair of hands at first slip. And that is a huge wicket. It's a huge blow to England.
Cummins with the field.
Catch it is the cry, and it's gone straight through. That was hit powerfully. It's a half chance, maybe not even that.
Second test of the Ashes is definitely going down to the fifth day, which is great to see. Australia in their second innings, 279, obviously gets harder to bat as the game goes on. Khawaja with 77 was the leading scorer. Then there was a number of players around the 15 to 20-odd mark that didn't really go on with it. Warner, 25. Labuschagne, 30. Really scratchy, 30. Smith looked good on 34. And then a few of the tailenders down the bottom there. So good bowling, obviously, from Stewie Broad. He did bring in some shorter bowling, put his back into it, took 4 for 65. Robinson and Tung with two, Anderson and Stokes with one each, to restrict Australia there. Australia then got off to a fantastic start, had England 4 for 40-odd and some absolutely amazing bowling. But Duckett and Stokes have put in a really nice partnership there of 60-odd runs. England need 257 more on a last-day wicket. Australia needs 6 wickets. Unless there's rain in there, it's gonna be a result. You'd have to favour Australia here. And, you know, 6 wickets, and they need 257 on a last day of a test. Let's see if Bazball comes into play. Come on. Let's see if you're going to do it when you're in a fair bit of trouble. Let's see if you go that runner ball. Duckett is going at not far off a runner ball. Stokes, about a 50% strike rate there. They're going to need to hang on. Do they go the hit? As they go the hit, I can't imagine they're going to get 257. Do they try and last? Yeah, you'd have to definitely give this game at this point in time in Australia's favour. It'll be the first half an hour to an hour if Duckett and Stokes can see off the pace attack there. Crawley out for 3. Duckett's not out on 50. Pope for 3. Joe Root, an absolute ripper of a ball to get him out. And then Brooke as well. Was bowled by Cummings, and it was a fantastic ball there as well. With Stark's ball to Pope, that came in through the gate. Absolute late swing. I'm not sure too many players would have been able to keep that one out as well. So, 31 overs and England are 114. So let's see if the Baz ball actually... I just hate it. Hate the term. I think it's rubbish. I think, yeah, fine. Go for heaps of runs quickly. That's great. But what people remember in the end is... not just how you played it, they remember who won the games, and Ashes is all about who retains it and so forth. Do I have any love for England? Absolutely not one iota of it. So let's hope that starting at 8 o'clock tonight, we go right through England. I think we will. And that sounds cocky, but I can't see any reason why not. Stark is going to be refreshed with Cummings as well. I just see, and with Hazelwood, I just see us going through them. Look, if England win it, it's one of the great victories ever. So, good luck to them. But they need another 257 runs. They've got 6 wickets in hand. They don't have much down the order. So if you get one or two early here, this game is over. And the Ashes series, it's not over, but goddamn, it's going to be close because you'd expect weather will play a part at some point. That's a little bit of an Ashes wrap there. Go the Aussies, stuff the English, and let's go 2-0 up.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Love Sport Podcast. Paul, your host, doing a bit of a weekend summary. Absolutely looking forward to the football today. Should see a couple blowouts, unfortunately, but still, it's Sundays, sitting back, enjoying it. This is Love Sport Podcast. Get us on Facebook and Twitter. Get me at Paul_football. Get this podcast on Apple. Get it on Google. Get it on Spotify, wherever you can. If you could do a preview, that would be much appreciated. Love your work.